Our next presenter is Ksenia Gasek.
So, thank you for choosing my talk for the oral presentation. This is the work that we started 2 years ago. I always wanted to see what's there in the repository, but there was always the lack of information or chance to do it because I'm in South Carolina and the repository is in California. So we were lucky to get funding from the USDA to evaluate on a molecular level diversity in the repository. And I'll take a second to just thank my collaborators on the project because I might run out of the time, so that always happens. The repository material was collected all over the world. Everybody's probably aware of that. And the Prunus repository for United States is in the Davis, California. Most of the samples that are there constitute of Prunus persica, but there are samples that are coming from Davidiana, Mira, and Ferganensis. All of the wild peach relatives come from China. Most of the samples are coming from United States, and within those samples, there are some that are wild relatives. So with all of the collection trips that the scientists made, they would first evaluate them at their own stations, and then after they decide that the material is valuable, they would donate it to the repository. So that's why the majority of samples donated within the United States can actually have the origin outside of the United States. Origin also goes to from Europe, South Africa, Brazil, India, Pakistan, and most of the samples, I mean, there are two types of samples that are in the repository. Some are clonal, but majority of them come as a seed because it's easier to go through the quarantine, and then they became like a seed families. So when you look in the green in the numbers, they would have the same original number, but the last digit and the letter next to it would tell you if it's the seed number 1, 2, 3, or whichever. We, in many samples, we evaluated every tree from the whole family that was collected. So, and that influenced some of the results that you would see later. So, going back to the material, as I said already, most of the material, 83%, is Prunus persica, but there are some Davidiana, Ferganensis, Mira, and there are some that are labeled as Prunus hybrids. For those, we know the background because they can be donated from the researcher that made a cross between the wild relative and persica, or was collected in wild and assumed by morphological traits to be the hybrid between persica and some other wild relative. And there are a bunch of them that are labeled Prunus SPP, which is of the questionable origin, and some of the results would really nicely place them where they belong, so that's going to be one of the help. So the total number of the accession is 560, and in this particular presentation I'm talking about 327, because by the time we submitted the abstract, that's how many we were able to analyze. And so the methods we used, we decided to use the next generation sequencing method, genotyping by sequencing, because of the cost. And we did the library preparation. We mixed 96 individuals into one line of sequencing, multiplexed them. Each individual was barcoded so we could bioinformatically track them back. Used the default parameter of TASL for the pipeline analysis of data, and then TASL GUI for the further downstream analysis that you will see later. We used 8 scaffolds of current peach genome for comparisons. For everybody that are using peach genome and got frustrated sometimes with the chromosome 6, there is a new version coming out where they fixed the swapping of the sequencing and pulled some smaller scaffold together, so the version 2 is coming by the end of the year and is fixed for many issues. So the preliminary result, considering all of the material, including the wild species. The first thing that you look after you do the genotyping by sequencing is to look at the barcode per individual sample. We had totally 2.7 million unpaired reads, and interesting fact was that 48% did not have an alignment with the peach genome. When we redid the data for all 560 individuals, that improved to only 15%. We knew that that's always the danger of using the peach genome as your reference genome for comparison, because if material you are comparing is completely different, you will not see, data will still be there, but you won't be able to see it. But there are remedies for that, which I'm not going to be talking about right now. So when we looked at our data, the default by TASO manual is to look only at the individuals that have at least 500,000 barcode reads. So we had 87% of the material that satisfied that requirement. Then I was reluctant to kick out those 13, so I looked at them and a region from 200 to 500,000 reads was still good, because on the total level of markers I could have 90% of markers present in the individual that had only 200,000 barcode reads, while with the sample that was sequenced million times, I would end up having only maybe 10% of markers, which was the biological reason. So I decided to keep everything 200,000 K and up, because I didn't want to lose some samples or need to redo it because just of the default value. So the first results with 327 accessions, meaning we kicked out those that were really low that we needed to repeat, we end up having 329,000 SNPs. This is without any kind of filtering. So the first filtering we did, looking at 90% or SNPs present in at least 90% of the material, we ended up with more than 90,000 SNPs. Those SNPs were minorly frequency, also we left it as is. So we kept everything from 0.01 up to 1. Later on you'll see when I do the filtering for different analysis how it boils down. But even going down to the 99% SNPs present in the 99% of material, we ended up with 16,000 SNPs, which is pretty good number to start with. This is the minor allele frequency breakdown for all of those SNPs, and as I said, you can tell that most of the alleles were in a rare, so-called rare category, less than 0.05 frequency, which is what you would expect, because if you imagine how the software works, it looks at all sequences, compares it to the peach genome, and then picks everything that's different. I had a bunch of them that are wild species, which is what contributed to the high proportion of the marker SNPs in the minor allele frequency less than 0.05. So when I did the tree, UPGMA phylogenetical tree, using those accessions, this is what we end up with. So there is a color coding for each of the wild species, and you can tell that Prunus mira and the Davidiana nicely side on one side of the tree. The black is the Persica, and then within that, this is these two green ones, because we had only two samples that are labeled as Prunus ferganensis. Might not be actually Prunus ferganensis, or might support the thought that ferganensis is actually Persica, just labeled as a different species, because there was some discussion going about that. These yellow ones are labeled Prunus spp, which is because we don't know actually the origin. So for these one here, we might suspect that they are actually the hybrids between the wild types and the Persica. But for one here and here, it's probably Prunus Persica labeled wrongly. And when I looked in the green, some of those are actually already have a note saying that whoever looked at them phenotypically thinks that it's actually Prunus Persica, not ferganensis. This is TASL has a way of leaving the peach genome in, so it's interesting to see where the peach genome sequence is, and it's pointed here with the arrow. So now moving to just looking at the Prunus persica. As I said, we had 274 individuals. When we filtered out SNPs to keep only those that are present in 75% of accessions, and remove the minorly frequency SNPs or less than 0.05, we ended up with 28,000 SNPs. This is the breakdown per chromosome, which is a pretty good number. Even so, for the chromosome 5, which always presents a problem in any marker analysis you do, it's always the weakest one. And this is the start of the first SNP on the chromosome, and the end where the last SNP is, so from 43 kb to 21 million base pairs in, let's say, chromosome 8. And this number tells you the biggest gap between the two SNPs, which is pretty good because it's around 0.5 centimorgans. So for whatever we would need to use these SNPs, it's a pretty good saturation of the markers. Now going back to the material. Of course, when we looked at how many SNPs are heterozygous in Persica, that's where we realized that all of these stories and reports of how peach is homozygous are confirmed yet again. Majority of the material, so 38% was only heterozygous for 20% of SNPs. So basically, we have a really homozygous material. But looking back at 28,000 SNPs total, 20% is not so bad. We end up around with 5,000 SNPs, which is still good to work with. This is the breakdown per chromosome of each category, which is pretty evenly spread. And again, these are the categories from 0.1 to 2, which is these are the high allele frequencies. So going down to overall again confirms the homozygosity in the peach. So here we can go and look what does that mean actually per individual sample, how they are heterozygous or homozygous. When I looked at the proportional alleles missing, the best or the most SNPs present were found in DPRU 517, which doesn't mean anything to you, but it says that it was donated from Arizona, U.S., from 0.1% missing to 45% missing in Diamante, which is the landrace from Brazil, donated. Then a proportional allele that are heterozygous. The least heterozygous individual was from Pakistan, and that's the this is the number that I was telling you about. When it has a number 2, that it means that it came as a seedling. So there are others that will have number maybe 4, 5, or 6, and they belong to the same group of seed that came from the same location. And interestingly enough, the most heterozygous sample was Alberta with 33%. SNPs heterozygous. So going back that Alberta is in the pedigree of almost everything in the modern peach cultivars, now you see even without the molecular data, breeders knew what they were doing a long time ago. So building the tree only on Prunus persica, we can say that they group in the general tree groups, with the third group having three subgroups. Here is again the peach genome sequence. And when I went deep into each of these, which I'm not going to do now, most of those seeds, I'm on the second to last slide, most of those individuals are actually the seeds from the same location. Sometimes the collection happened at the airport or at the market in China, so we don't have actually detail where they actually come from, but probably are the same cultivar and just, you know, fruit sold at the market, and somebody would just buy the fruit and smuggled seed into U.S. probably. Okay, so a long time ago, we don't do that anymore. So now looking only at that third cluster, we can actually further divide it, and I did it by color coding to see a finer grouping of the samples, which is what we're going to use now with the repository to make a final decision if we really have something. And all of that, I forgot to say, is used with the 93,000 SNPs. I did all of these graphs and dendrograms with all three categories, 30-something and 16,000 SNPs. And the finer resolution I get with, of course, more SNPs. And so I'll just leave that to repository to decide which one would be the right one with the other information you have. And of course, here is the peach genome. And the sample 029, which is my number, because I just labeled them 1 to 560, is actually level 2D. And you can tell that there is a slight difference between the two samples which are the same, which means those are these sequencing issues when is it reading the homozygous or heterozygous, so which made me really happy and trust the results that this particular one did not end up like here or somewhere else. So the overall conclusion is, with this data available, and it will become available to everybody once I get a hold of them and deposit them into the GDR, we'll have a better knowledge of what's present in the Prunus collection. It will have the help collection sort out through the material and make a better decision of what to keep if they need to conserve the space or for any other reason. In combination with present green data and, as John said, with the new phenotypic data that will become available and collected over the next few years, it's going to become an excellent source for playing with the genome-wide association studies and actually looking at the additional sources for alleles, for the traits that we right now are stuck with and we don't have a source in peach. Which leads us to in silico discovery first, then we can request the sample from repository, graft it in our own location, and then do the detailed phenotyping and evaluation of the material. That also presents an excellent starting point for all of these markers that you heard during the last few days discovered in the rose breed to actually test for the various traits that we know the alleles for, and maybe look if there are some other alleles that we don't know and don't exist in a modern peach germplasm that we might want to find out what they do and how they contribute to that. So last thing to do the... Okay, I'm on time. To do the just acknowledgement, and I mentioned that through my students that did the work, and especially to Carolyn DeBuse from the repository because she was instrumental in collecting all the samples, shipping, and all of that. And John is here, but he's co-author, so... Thank you very much for attention. If you have any questions, you can send me...